Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jerosalyn and Tanea.
This song is a tribute, and it's the intro to a show, but one of my favorite Black women just died. It's showtime!
Yeah!
At the Apollo! Let me tell you something.
It's showtime!
Oh, what can you see?
The Apollo!
Oh,
welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, Season 6, Episode 15. This is our Season 6 season finale. It's been a good one. We really stretched this one out. We were trying to do a video episode, but you know, life be life it.
Listen, we can't be on camera. And that's what everybody in the whole world.
But when we come back, we'll be on camera. Y'all gonna see us. And if you want to see us, just follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That's TEA with the letter V. I did want to add in a song in honor of our 2026 Best Actor. Strike one. Ooh, I got you out. Strike two. Right before you back. Hit three. I got you out. Without a doubt. I got you out. Because he was definitely in Hardball. Let's go back.
Ain't no fun when you play a hardball.
Shout out to Michael B. Jordan. He is, you know, getting all of the respect that he deserves, his much deserved flowers, because he put in the work. I think we all saw it. You know, we saw his progression and growth as an actor, and Sinners was undeniable. I do believe that they should have won a few more categories, but regardless, Michael B. Jordan became the sixth Black actor to win Best Actor, seventh in total, adding our girl Halle Berry and Ryan Coogler, the director, filmmaker of this original film. He became the second Black filmmaker to win Best Original Screenplay. Yes, he should have also won Best Director. They also should have won, in my opinion, Best Film. And there's a lot of mixed debates around one battle after another, whether it deserved it or not. But I still love, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. He's one of my faves, even though his movies are too long. And Tiana Taylor as well, who, you know, she did her thing. They say Regina Hall's also in the film, but for some reason they feel like she's kind of like separating herself. When I say they, I mean social media. These are the conversations that I see on the Twitters and the Instagrams and TikToks. But yeah, we'll get more into the Oscars because, of course, Tanea always gives us our breakdowns of award shows. But yeah, so how's everything been going, best friend?
I just want to rewind and say rest in peace, Kiki Shepherd. If you do not know what I was singing, I remember being a little girl, staying up way too late past my bedtime, watching Showtime at the Apollo with Steve Harvey introducing Miss Kiki Shepherd. She represent class and Blackness and beauty. She was one of the first dark-skinned, beautiful, elegant women I remember on my television. So rest in peace to the Miss Kiki Shepherd.
Yes, she was on the show from 1987 to 2002. So, a long reign, we all knew her. Anybody who watched Showtime at the Apollo, which honestly, I feel like everybody watched it, you know, because it was, you know, if you were up late on a Saturday night, you know, you'll check out Saturday Night Live, maybe a little Mad TV, and the Showtime at the Apollo, it all just kind of coincided. It was timed perfectly for you to catch those three shows. And Kiki Shepherd was the girl. Like, she was that one. She was the one bringing out the guests. She was holding her little pretty hand over their head, and the audience would boo or cheer.
And then Sandman was kicking them off with his tap shoes and his broom. This is Black
culture. Such a good time. Such a good time. You realize it more when you don't have it, and it's just like, dang, we really had great television growing up. And yeah, so thank you, Kiki Shepherd, for sharing your light with us. And you will be missed, but the legacy lives on. Her family said they'll be continuing the work that she does through her KIS Foundation, which is for sickle cell awareness, something she was really passionate about. So, you know, she will continue to live on in our hearts and through the work, her philanthropy work for sickle
That's what.
cell.
Besides that, I am great, you know, black and blessed, taking it one day at a time, but I am all good. How are you? And it's cold. It was super nice. Now it's super cold.
They
And that I don't
say,
understand.
that's right, put your coats back on. Y'all thought it was shake that ass
Yes.
time. Yeah, because it was, you know, getting warm, you know, but this is spring. This is what spring does. Spring will have you springing in and out of your clothes
Insane.
until the latter end of the season when it's fully like, okay, we're going into summer. But that early start, late February, early March, it's always bipolar weather. Because it got cold today. I had to put my baby in her coat and some sweats and stuff for school. Freezing, but here in Atlanta, it's just going to continue to slowly start to warm back up into like at least upper 80s by the weekend. I know New York, it's a little more of a process to get out of it. It's going to start at least
Let me tell you how many of these people had on their shorts and their
Oh, yeah.
skirts and their tank top last Monday.
Shake
Today
that
they got
ass
them
time.
North Faces back on.
Put
Okay?
them coats back on, baby.
Listen,
Not yet.
gentrified people, get it together.
Almost, but not yet, okay? Almost doesn't count. All right, so we actually have, well, I have so much that I wanted to squeeze in shows and a film that I watched, and since it's the season finale, I was like, I'm gonna get it all in there. So we're gonna get right into it because this is gonna be probably a little bit more of an extended episode. All right, so let's get into our weekly grab. Okay, best friend, what do you got?
All right. First on my weekly grab is the, I don't want to say revival because it didn't go off air, but it took a long break. High Potential
Right.
season two. They have already gotten renewed for season three. Shout out to our
As
team
they
over
should.
there. It is such a good show.
It is.
Basically, one thing that I really love that they did this past episode was navigate Morgan's daughter being biracial. We have
Yes.
not seen who her dad is, but we know he is black, and he, quote unquote, disappeared, died. As the season progressed, we're finding out that he may well still be alive, or there is still some attachment to him. I
Right.
love that they're unfolding this story, but I really love that Morgan told her daughter, like, Ava, I don't know how to have this conversation with you. I can empathize with you. I can maybe say I'm sorry, and what these racist little kids are saying isn't true about you only getting into a program because you're black, but I'm sorry. And then she also kind of opened the floodgates for her to speak to her black coworker. And so I
Right.
just thought that it was really powerful. I feel like people who are in a biracial relationship or in that type of setting, like there's always another way. You don't
Right.
have to act like you understand because it's something that only someone can understand. But I
Right.
just love, love, love how they
Yeah.
approach that.
And it's, you know, for me with a triracial daughter, you know, it was a reminder and an eye opener for me of conversations that I'm, you know, could likely have to have with my daughter as she gets older, in these spaces, you know, when they're growing up and you know, these kids, they really, you know, because right now it's just beautiful, it's innocent, she's one, and you just see how her and her classmates, they all just get along because they don't see race. But then, you know, what happens as you get older, the world gets involved, worldviews and parents and family members and can start to twist and contort your view of the world, and you could bring that to school and it could harm someone else. And so that's what we saw in this last episode. And what I like too is the tie-in to what's the girl's name? The coworker, because she got a more front-facing role in this episode. She was the first, it was her first time being the lead detective on a case. So she was already,
Daphne.
Daphne, just being more in charge and talking more than what you've seen her in past episodes, in addition to being able to be that shoulder that the daughter was able to lean on as a black woman. So yeah, great tie-in. I want to know where's the daddy. I know they keep, they're really building it up. They really got to make it good. At this point, you can't make it disappointing of what this tie-in to this girl's father is, because yeah, we need to know. But yeah, that is one show I'm actually caught up with, because it's only up to season two, so I'm still behind on Will Trent. And what I noticed with Will Trent, I think one is because I'm so behind. So with Will Trent, I'm up to season, because what they're currently now in season three, right?
Yes, they're going. Yeah, they just got renewed for season four.
Yeah, so I'm dragging along through season three. And so what I think it is with me with Will Trent is that it's so much more storyline versus case solving. And it's okay, like it depends on the storyline, but I kind of start to get lost. And so it just takes me longer to enjoy it versus compared to High Potential, it's more case, and then the drips of the each person's personal storyline gets added in, and I'm the one, I like the case, I like the chase, I like the solving, like, oh, who's this, who did it, who murdered, who got it, who's the bad guy, who's the bad girl. But yeah, still good, still good. Was that it that you wanted to say about High Potential, or you had some more you wanted to add in?
Just that I really love how the show is progressing. I'm very happy that they got renewed for season three. And no matter how many times I see this woman, that's still Franklin Saint's mama.
Oh,
And I
yes.
cannot get
Because
over
you didn't watch
her.
Snowfall,
I didn't
but.
finish it. I stopped right before he became a drug addict.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So it was towards the end of the show where Franklin Saint's mom really just disappointed us. Well, you did see it, because
I knew
it
that they weren't getting along towards the end, and him and
right.
like
And
the
so
uncle, like
he
I knew
was
he was taking his
trying,
own way.
remember, the CIA was the one that was behind everything. So he was trying to take down the CIA, and the cop that was going to basically, kind of help spill it all, the mama killed him and just ruined it. Ruined the whole plan. So that's the mama that is now in High Potential. And it's just so hard. It's so hard to get over what she did to Franklin Saint. It don't matter how many characters she plays. I'm like, you Franklin Saint's mama. I recognize that mole. Love her.
But
Great
yes.
actress. Great actress.
What's first on your weekly grab?
Okay. So first on my weekly grab is my one of two mentions of cooking shows. Okay. Because yes, I like to eat. And I like to watch people who could cook really well, as long as the show's really good. And y'all know I love the baking competitions. So it is Ultimate Baking Championship, because for some reason they aren't doing Spring Baking Championship. They have brought the entire, like most of the cast, the host, Jesse, who also hosts the Golden Bachelor, he's over, he's the host on Spring Baking Championship and Holiday. He does all the baking championships. So he's now, they're hosting Ultimate Baking Championship, which. And then you see Duff, where he's the one of the judges. They got him on it. And so it's 16 of the nation's best pastry chefs. If you watch a lot of baking competition shows, as I do, you'll recognize some of the faces from past baking competition shows. I noticed one guy, not so much on like Is It Cake, but they've been on previous seasons of like Spring Baking Championship, like Clement, because I'm actually just going and binging old seasons of Spring Baking Championship to get my fix. So Clement was on season 10. He's from France. It's always the French. To me, it's like a cheat, because they are just born to bake, man. They are just pastry connoisseurs. But he lost. He actually lost in the last round. I thought he was going to win the whole competition, but I do believe that the person that won season 10 of Spring Baking Championship, it was the way they designed their cake. It was just so much better. And so now Clement is back, and he is out for vengeance. He's like, he wants to win. And so they get a challenge that ranges from sugar work to chocolate skills. And it has a special focus on either a technique, the taste, and the texture. So, for example, the first challenge splits them into two groups of eight, where they have to show off their mastery of taste and textures, where each team is given a specific taste and texture to include in their design, either sweet and crunchy, salty and sticky, sour and smooth, or bitter and toasted. So, what you're seeing is like this is the top of the top. So the judging is way more critical. They are digging into these bakers on every little detail. So the desserts that they're making are just the most immaculate I've seen on a baking competition that isn't about realism. Because, you know, I've talked about the Wizards of Baking, which is like the Harry Potter theme one, where those ones is like super elaborate cakes and desserts, but around Harry Potter. But again, that's about realism. Or if we talk about, is it cake? These cakes are like, oh my gosh, but it's about making this cake look real. This Ultimate Baking Championship isn't about realism. It's just about making
Good
gorgeous,
food.
exquisite, right? And it has to taste amazing. So I like it because it is about being the best of the best. And it's really stiff competition. So it's a lot more serious. But again, they're baking, so it's still fun. And then they bring in different guest judges. If you guys know that chocolatier, he's French, of course, but he had his own show on Netflix, which I don't know why it was only one season. But he's really popular on TikTok. You'll see him like create these realistic looking statues out of chocolate. So he comes in for a guest spot and they rotate each week while Duff remains the consistent judge and then Jesse is the host. So I love it. It's giving you the fix that Spring Bacon Championship is not giving the season, which I'm like, why? I don't understand. Unless maybe I'm still too early, unless they planned on airing it later this month. I don't know. I have to check. But for right now, it's Ultimate Baking Championship. And I would assume this is what they're sticking with because you can't have the same host on two different baking competition shows at the same time. It just wouldn't make sense. So I think they're going with the Ultimate Baking Championship this spring season. So if you're disappointed that there isn't a new season of Spring Baking Championship, you could do what I'm doing and binge old seasons and watch this new season of this new show called Ultimate Baking Championship because my mom is also watching it. Anybody who loves baking competitions, watch it. Okay. What is next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is the catch up to an oldie but goodie that we love and that is Married to Medicine. I think I watched the first five episodes of the season and kind of like checked out. And then I like to like put TV on while I'm working from home. And so I was like, let me just catch up to this show. And I was pleasantly surprised and happy that I did. First, I'm just happy it was only what, 13 episodes, 14 episodes. It was an easy catch up, so I was only halfway through. Secondly, I knew some of the things that were gonna happen, like Quads kind of struggle with IVF. My heart still goes out to her. Can only imagine what she is going through. And also the whole Met Gala husband's couples trip, everything going on with Cecil and Simone, et cetera, et cetera. But I will say that overall, it was a very good season. Toya is just so hard to digest sometimes. She is the show, she is the drama. She'll always get a check because she just is good at what she does. But sometimes I think Dr. Mimi said it, like she'll egg on an argument. Heavenly and Simone could barely kind of get their stuff out without her. And what did you do? And da-da-da-da. Toya, shut the hell up. Like, just be quiet. And then when Contessa called her out, like every Met Gala before this, you really didn't want to be a part of it. Now that you're, owning it or putting it together, now you're like, I don't want none of y'all involved. I just want y'all money. I'm not gonna tell you anything, and that's it. I think that Mimi and her husband, their whole thing was they were gonna come and donate a big amount like they did the year before. But I also understood Eugene, like at least text that to us. Don't just show up and not buy a ticket. I'm so excited for this reunion. It's a long time since I've been excited for a reunion. So I am really, really excited. They look beautiful. They look amazing.
Oh, stunning.
So good in that red. But I'm also interested in because they haven't really spoke about the breakdown of Jackie and Simone's relationship. I think Simone has a lot of misplaced anger that is to her husband and her family, to her friends. But that's just my personal opinion. But I just really love the season. I'm excited that I caught up right in time for the reunion. And justice for Married to Medicine LA. I think they should still try
Oh
another city.
God, I don't know. They would have to
Even
get a
if it's
better
not
pass.
LA, New York, I feel like they should definitely try another city for Married to Med. I think they need to try to branch out.
I agree, but I just don't think LA was the city.
Yeah, so
Just
just I think they should definitely try to branch out.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this reunion. It looks like, you know, Mimi and her husband secured their second season. Because they are coming for Toya and Eugene, and I'm here for it. When he called Eugene Bush.
You could tell I hurt that ego. Everybody's like,
Yeah,
no,
because that's the
no,
one thing.
man.
Like, I like Toya. I can tell that. I mean, I hosted the Married to Medicine panel at the first BravoCon, so I met all the ladies, and Toya gave me the best energy, the most genuine energy, and what I got from all of them, honestly, they are friends. They do actually get along, and they play it up for the cameras. They play it up for the show. And it's great. It works. That's why the show is still on the air. The th one thing though with Toya is I just hate one, of course she, like you said, she always be picking stuff, but the way she talks to Eugene is just, I don't think that's for the camera.
No, it's so rude. It's so
It is so rude and
disrespectful.
so dismissive of her husband who gives her everything.
Everything she
And
wants.
so she did that to me. I feel like it gets worse and worse each season. And so this season, it was worse than it's been in past seasons. So I am looking forward to Mimi and her husband, especially the husband, because that's what you need. It's like the men gotta call out the men. So it
100%.
looks like Mimi's husband is with all the shenanigans, which is why I'm, in addition to their storyline of raising awareness on autism and kids on the spectrum. But I just think that they are the perfect. I like them as well as who's the other one? What's the
Brandy
Brandy?
and her
Brandy.
cute husband Shamari.
Yes,
Delta and
I love the new
Aquarius.
additions. Because it took some time. We could remember the what was the An Anissa,
Anila.
Anila. Like
Remember
I
Buffy and the whole
Buffy.
nine
They had
getting pregnant or something like that?
and they had a white woman in the early years.
Oh, Carrie.
Yeah, so it's taken some time for them to really find the right fits for the other additions. But I think they found the right fits because a lot of us who are have been fans for a long time, we are still debating of Simone and Jackie's place on the show. So I think what continues to solidify their being full time and not just like friends is because it's been hard for them to find newbies that could fill in those spots. So I'm hopeful that things could that Mimi and Brandy are that fill because I mean what we see where it's going with Simone, it seems like she's nearing a divorce with Cecil. So that's of course going to solidify her having another full-time season. But with Jackie, it's just like mama, it's like Jackie is definitely very friend of. So she has to kind of give up that spot and give it to someone else more deserving.
Yeah, she's not giving up that spot. She's gonna be like, I am the show. Ain't nobody come to see you,
No, you
Otis.
are
I
a
feel
friend. No, we. I still think she needs a presence on the show, just not full time. You know what I mean? Like, it needs to be the same way when they had what's her name, Jazzy on Potomac, and like, okay, you can hop on backstage. Thank you for because you're not here really contributing much to the conversation. But yeah, okay.
What's
Well,
next on your weekly grab?
next on my weekly grab is a film. It's on Hulu as well as Disney Plus, which I have now. Shout out to my parents. So it is Predator Badlands. Y'all know of the besties. I am the one that is into the action and fantasy films. And I'm into the Predator multiverse. So I've pretty much seen I don't know if I've seen like the early Predators from like the 80s, but I've pretty much seen every Predator film in recent years. I would say within like the last 10 to 15 years, I've seen all of them. So the new one that just got added to streaming is Predator Badlands. It released in theaters last year. And this is like the first time we're seeing the Predator be the prey, which is really interesting. The film follows Deck. He's a hungry warrior who wants to make his people proud and prove his worth by finding the Kalisk. We see at the start of the film that only his brother, Quay, believes in him, but he ends up getting murdered by their ruler, which is also their father, because the father wanted him to kill Deck because he felt like Deck was too weak. And the brother believed in him, and he's like, no, he's going to be the one to find the Kalisk. And so then the father ends up killing Quay. So and Deck had to watch that happen. And while Quay was being murdered, he like pressed this button on his suit that shipped Deck to this planet, which is the Badlands. So it's a treacherous planet filled with death at every turn. And so this is really test and deck, right? Like now he's really being put to the test. It's evil plans that can paralyze you and kill you, raptor-like birds, all these different kinds of crazy creatures. There's not, it's not really anywhere where it's safe, you know, to just even like sit.
It ain't safe. It ain't safe. It
Right.
ain't
So luckily, Deck meets a robot girl. Her name is Thea, who befriends him, and a creature, they call him Bud, who they both help him navigate the Badlands. But what it is that Deck is battling the way he is a predator, like the way I just told you how their father killed the son. The nature of a predator is very solo dolo. They don't operate in unity and community. They operate as lone wolves. But what you see is through Thea, the robot, and Bud, the little creature, their love and you know, kind of just like affection towards Deck, it starts to get to him. And so they become his clan. You see that towards the end of the film where he adapts that. He gets his vengeance for his brother. The way the ending of the movie ends, it's like, okay, well, clearly there's going to be another, it's going to be Predator Badlands 2, because after he avenges his brother, you see a ship arriving, and it's like Thea asks him, like, who's that? He's like, it's my mother. So it's like, oh snap, she probably coming to set it off because you killed her husband, you killed your daddy. But I think it's a great addition to the Predator universe that helps humanize them in a way, despite how ugly they are, because these things is ugly. You
Wow.
know, it's hard, it's really hard to look at them, but you know, they are their own beings.
Everybody's beautiful in their own way.
Exactly, right? But yeah, so check it out if you're into the Predator universe, if you're into action films, if you're into fantasy, alien stuff, Predator Badlands, Disney Plus or Hulu. What's next in your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is a new show that caught my eye on Netflix because I love couples therapy on Showtime. So it is the British version of that called Blue Therapy. It's based in my favorite country besides America, the UK. Actually, it's my favorite right now because America is not American.
Period.
But basically, it's kind of the same premise. I will say there are more couples of color and diverse couples as compared to couples therapy on Showtime. But basically, it's this one therapist, and she just interviews a multitude of couples. They call it blue therapy because the couch that they're on is blue. And I'm only up to episode 5, but I just want to say a prayer for everybody in a committed relationship right now because
It sounds like I need to watch it.
it's just like so much going on. And I mean, I do think that it is useful because sometimes you do need that third party to kind of like take it in. But two couples that stuck out is, of course, is one lesbian couple, and the stud is a damn cheetah pumpkin eater. And she just cheats on the girlfriend. And the girlfriend is so sweet and so kind. She cheats on that girl every day. She knows she gets away with it. And the girlfriend said, if I even did a fraction of what you did, would you be here? And she's like, no. And it looks like the girl has some inner healing to do because she doesn't enjoy cheating, but I think she likes the attention. She's a DJ. And so, like, she says if a girl just tries to talk to her, she thinks it's attractive. So she
Oh my
doesn't even have
gosh.
willpower to like turn somebody down. Then you have another couple, Daisy and Jay. Daisy is very territorial. She's very like, I'm gonna check your phone all the time because people lie all the time and I know you're cheating. They were broken up. He was hanging out with his friends. She calls him every 30 seconds for like hours. He finally texts her and said, I can't pick up. He kissed the girl and he wasn't honest about it. And she just had this whole breakdown. Meanwhile, she texting some producer on her end talking about, well, I just want to do what you did to me. And I'm like, that's not healthy. Then you have another couple with this, everyone on the show, I will say, is beautiful, gorgeous, like good looking people. Beautiful black woman who was a project manager who was at the top of her game. Got pregnant, got married. Now she's a stay-at-home mom, and the husband runs like a recruiting company for healthcare professionals. And he's very misogynistic, very like, you need to support me. You need to do what I say because I'm the breadwinner and everything I say goes. And Just basically not supportive. He has this assistant that, he said, oh, makes the best coffee I ever had. And he calls her amazing. And she's like, I'm dead, your wife. And you have not said that to me in forever. And so you kind of see him. And then he thinks like they're ganging up on him because the therapist is just like listening to the girlfriend. I know the wife, they're married. So you
Right.
just see these relationships, how they break down. I'm in the middle of it to where you kind of see all the couples and their issues. And so I'm gonna finish it to see like who makes it to the other end and who doesn't. But you can honestly tell, like, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of communication, it takes a
Right.
lot of transparency. And like, I'm just praying. I'm praying for everybody who is
Yeah,
in
it's
something with somebody because it just seems like a lot.
yeah.
And I am not for it in my life right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have to, it's, but yeah, it's always going to be give or take, because it's two people still on their individual journeys at the end of the day. And if you aren't in a place where you can, remember that you still have to be for that other person, not just yourself, that's where you see the issues arise. In addition to, just life circumstances, changes, career, everything still plays a part in it, and you still have to show up, for your partner, and
You
vice
really
versa.
do.
So
And
it's,
so it
yeah.
was just, I'm wishing them all the best. I'm gonna finish it and I hope that they do grow. But it's interesting just to get sometimes that third POV. So
Oh
I'm gonna keep
yeah,
watching it, especially with the accents. I'm like, oh shit,
oh
what
yes. So
happened?
Tanea is basically gonna become Little Eve of
Listen,
Brooklyn, find her
you love
Maximilian.
it.
Hello. Which, by the
Hello.
way, did you see that video of Eve with her her cute Philly British accent?
Oh my gosh, I love it. It's
It's
coming out
so,
more
first of
and
all, it's so
more.
cute because it's like you could tell that she's not forcing it, where
It's authentic.
people are making fun of Angela Simmons for having this fake Southern accent from dating Yo Gotti for like 2 days.
And rapping, because who said to
Like
do
what?
that?
Yeah. But Eve has been in London for 20 years now. And so you can hear how she developed an accent. And it's just so cute because she's still trying. She's still Eve, right? She's still from
Yes.
Philly. So it's like you hear her Philly accent, but at the same time, she's like, I love this coat. I'm like, what? Did you say coat?
Shout
Like, oh my God.
out to
Shout out
EVE.
to EVE.
Love
And
her.
shout out to London. Yes. Shout out
Yes,
to
I'll
London.
be back twice this year.
Tanea goes at least, I mean,
At least twice a year.
at
At
least
least
every
twice a
quarter,
year.
I would
At least.
say.
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much. It's a weekend trip. I don't care what nobody says. What's
I mean,
next
yeah,
on
you live in
your
New York. Honestly, it's really not that bad.
It's like going to LA. It's like going to
Exactly.
LA. If you do a red eye, you get a full day. Okay? I've
Yeah,
got it
exactly.
down.
You could go to a whole other country, come back and be gone for like 2 days
That's
if you really
it.
wanted to. It's not that bad. Next on my weekly grab is the second of my cooking competition shows. This one isn't baking. It is actual food. So it's called Flavor Town Food Fight. It is with our second other favorite after Gordon Ramsay, Guy Fieri. He brings three of the country's best chefs to his food town, where they compete in challenges inside his makeshift restaurant strip, where based on the restaurant they end up at is the type of ingredients they'll have to cook with. So they have either a food cart, an Italian restaurant, a diner named after his wife, Loretta, and a fine dining that they save for the last round. So that first round, you could only it's the three chefs can only pick from the other three. The fine dining, based on who wins that first challenge, if they choose to want to cook at the fine dining restaurant at the end, they can. The food cart manager and the fine dining maitre d' is Guy's son Hunter, which is so cute and funny. They also each have specific challenges where they have to Each episode where they have to use specific ingredients or cook in a certain style. So episode one, it was using chicharrones for taco day. And then episode two was no utensils day. So they were, you had to, the way you had to craft your meal, it had to be that you could eat it with your hands. And then they, I, I'm caught up. So episode three is coming out this week and it's pork day. So they're going to have to cook with pork. The quick test, which is the first challenge, it determines the winner who gets to pick their restaurant. And the tests are taste tests where they eat a dish and guess the ingredients. Whoever gets the most correct wins. Whoever wins the final challenge goes home with $20,000 and then makes it to the next episode. So it's kind of like Jeopardy, where you can keep coming back and until somebody outcooks you. Yes. And then they also make extra money if they use certain dishes in their final dish. So, like, if you can incorporate brown rice in your dish, you get an additional $3,000.
Give me that money.
Right. So
Brown rice
it's really fun.
sushi.
It's really cool. It's quirky. I love how they designed the set. You'll see like probably the people that work in the production that get to act as like restaurant people eating on the street. I'm like, how do I sign up? I literally just want to eat. Like, just sign me. I just want to test the food. But yeah, really fun. That one is on Food Network, but I have Discovery Plus, so I see everything. So I
That's
love, that's the one
funny.
that I'm not deleting. Like, I love Discovery Plus because y'all know I love my House Hunters and my baking competition. So yeah, so Flavortown Food Fight on Food Network. What is last on your weekly grab? Because I still got two more.
No, I think we could do five for five because you said
Okay.
we needed five. So next on my weekly grab is a new show by like my top five favorite comedic actors, the Steve Carell. It is on
Yes.
HBO Max called Rooster. That's probably one I'm never getting rid of only because it's free with my AT&T account. So Rooster is a comedy about a divorced dad who's an author and who has an adult daughter and just navigating the life of being kind of awkward. I think he has some type of neurodivergent like thing. He's very sweet, very nice. He's also very like uncomfortable with public settings and different people. He doesn't know the best things to say all the time, but he is really a nice, caring person. His wife was cheating on him, I think his daughter's mom. He goes and visits his daughter because his daughter's husband, who was from my other favorite show, Ted Lasso, he cheats on the daughter with a grad student. They're both professors at this made-up school. He cheats on the daughter with a grad student, but they still love each other. He was just going through that, like, I'm bored phase, whatever. And so, spoiler alert, they try to like at least have a conversation because the dad goes and talks to him. Steve Carell goes and talks to the husband, and he's like, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. I really want her back. I want to try to work it out. The daughter goes to speak to the ex-husband after she's caught in his tree, spying on him, by the way. He says, I really love you. I was gonna work this out. The grad student is pregnant. He did it. He was about to dump her. She finds out she's pregnant. The wife kicks him out of his own house, tells him to take a walk. She burns like one of his like favorite books because he's an English professor. So he has like this like first edition, very historic book that he keeps on a mantle. She thinks it's funny. She takes a piece of the book and burns it in the fireplace. She burns the entire house down. And that is where episode one ends. The Steve Carell comes to the daughter. She says, I was with you this entire time. The entire mansion is burnt to flames. So I see some laughter. I see some real funny moments. I can't wait to watch episode two. Like I said, Steve Carell just is really good in no matter what he plays. So
Yeah,
that is
we wanted to see
on.
him because, four seasons, he's clearly not going to
Ugh,
be
he's
in
not gonna be
the.
back on that. But that is coming back before we come back. So that makes me excited.
We
But
love Steve Carell, literally.
love
I
it,
was
love it,
watching
love it.
something where he was like busting out laughing when they showed him like old clips because he was on the Dana Carvey show. They used to have like a sketch comedy show and he was on it. And they basically used to name every episode after whoever the sponsor was. So it was called the Taco Bell Dana Carvey Show. And the next week it was called the Atlantic Bell Dana Carvey Show. And they were like, what were y'all doing? And Dana Carvey was like, clearly we had no idea what we were doing. But yeah, we love Steve Carell. He's a
We
gem.
love, love, love him. So if you can watch that show, what is next on your weekly grab?
Okay, so next on my weekly grab is a new show that is on Hulu. It's along the lines of our High Potentials and Will Trent's. It is a kind of an action thriller crime solving show. RJ Decker. So basically, RJ Decker, he is the lead. He plays an he's an ex-con news photographer who becomes a private investigator where he helps solve crimes. He ends up having to live with his ex-wife because his trailer park fell into a sinkhole. So he has to move in with his ex-wife and her wife, who is a DA. And they end up, you'll see how they sometimes can work on cases together despite, low-key disliking each other because she's married to his old boothe, his ex-wife. There's tie-ins to his past, which involves his criminal case where he beat up a kid who broke into his car and stole his camera equipment. And a woman, her name is Maya Gregory, he knew who was brutally murdered 1 week before he beat that boy up who stole the camera equipment. It's also has a really good opening where he meets this super hot lady who ends up stabbing him in the back in such a great way that leads to him being put in jail. And then they have an interesting cross of paths later on once he's out of jail and now he's working as a private investigator. So Tim, it's a lot of like badass girl power throughout the show while he, the main character is a man, but he's just surrounded by a lot of just badass women. And it's a great crime drama if you're into those. And it's new, so you won't be like too far behind. And it's nice looking at him. He got that hot, scruffy, scruffy look. Like the new, he's like the new, because Matthew McConaughey is, he's getting up there, So we got the new guy, which is RJ Decker on Hulu.
So it's kind of like that.
Yes. It's
Okay, I'm gonna give it a
like
chance.
exactly like what we, yeah. High Potential, Will Trent, very esque. Every episode is solving, and that's what I like about it because I like it to just be like I want the crime to get solved by the end of the episode. So yeah, each episode is a different crime for the most part, whilst and then tie-ins to the personal story. Funny, and based in Florida, so we get to see Florida, and Florida's a nice state, nice city.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But yeah, I think he's in what part of Florida? Is he in Tampa? Which we love
I'll
Tampa.
be Boca Raton.
Yeah, Tampa has a special place in our heart. That's where I got married. So yeah. RJ Decker, check it out on Hulu. And what is last on your weekly grab? Did you have one more?
Last but not least, we spoke about this a little earlier, but I already knew that I was gonna leave it for my last. It is the Oscars because I actually did watch it live. Shout out to everybody on Threads. I had a very interactive Threads on our podcast page, going back and forth with some people about a lot of facts, a lot of things that went on. Some of the highlights of the show is I think in today's age, where actually the Oscars are gonna be on YouTube in 2 years, so it's really hard to host a show. I think Conan O'Brien did really good
We love Conan.
with the jokes he did. He was very present. I love when they do these Trump jokes because it's like if Trump gets mad, then they're true. Also, my highlights is now to your point, me and another individual were going back on Threads about the idea that the only reason why Sinners did not sweep is because Ryan Coogler owns all of the data and everything that has to do with Sinners. And the way that that would turn the entertainment movie industry on its head if everybody had the ownership of Sinners that he has, that's why they gave him some things, but not everything. He 100% deserved everything that he got. I do believe he should have got Best Picture. And I'm gonna be honest, I have to give a mini piss poor to me. I was scared to watch Sinners. I watched it at 2 p.m. before the Oscars.
Are you
I
serious?
did not watch Sinners. I was like, ooh, vampire is gonna be scary. I
Oh
did
my
scream
God.
a little bit, but it was amazing. It was amazing. It was amazing. But I did not
Yeah.
watch it until right before the Oscars, so
I
I can have
told
something
you
to
that it
compare it
was
to.
more than it was. It's not just a horror film. It's a historical
I
piece.
needed to do it at my own time and in my own pace. But I'm happy I did it when I did it because it was fresh on my mind. One battle after another, I think was amazing. I love that what the director said about it. He was like, I think certain people are only looking at it for this, like Tiana being sexualized is only 20 minutes of a 2-hour film. I do agree with you that Regina Hall did have a bigger spot in it, and she is being overlooked. But I do think Teyana Taylor was amazing. I do think that Sean Penn, who won Best Supporting Actor, just doesn't care. I think he thought that Delroy should have won too. That's
Right.
why he didn't show up. He didn't think he was
Yeah, I
gonna
don't. I
win.
think he didn't think he was gonna
He
win.
probably thought it was gonna be Delroy too, but
Right.
also he was in Ukraine helping the president of Ukraine try to get their people free. So he has is really close with them, has been working with them because he know our president won't.
Right.
So yes, that was my
I mean,
first.
I haven't seen one battle after another, and it's not like the way Taneya is about watching horror films. I am about just watching overly drawn out movies, and I feel, I've talked about this. I talk about it all the time with Leonardo DiCaprio. It's just like I know it's going to be a long ass movie, and it's just like, okay, like what's the gist of it, right? So the clips that I've been seeing of the movie on social media, I'm like, okay, what is this movie about? Like, what exactly is the premise of the movie?
It is basically, it's kind of like to me a little bit about a modern Black Panthers. Basically, Leonardo DiCaprio is a part of a revolution. That's how he meets Teyana Taylor or Perfidia, I don't know, but that's how they meet. Wood Harris, actually, they have this whole revolution. They go, they free the people that are locked up in ICE. They really have a revolution for their people. He is for the people. Tiana breaks a major law. She goes on the run, but then she leaves their baby who was born. So she disappears. She goes to Mexico. Wherever she goes, she never comes back. But before that, she sets up Sean Penn for something. Like she sets him up some way somehow and does end up having sex with him, but he gets aroused by her like being angry and like threatening him. So she does have intercourse with him, but then she does it to like get like in she like gets a key from him and she enters a government building and she blows something up. And then from that they catch her. She was supposed to go to court, but she ran away to Mexico. She left Leonardo DiCaprio with the baby, wrote a letter, and never see her again. So they know she's alive, but she's on the run. So he kind of moves with the baby, leaves her family. He starts a whole new life with the daughter. The daughter becomes a teenager, thinks her mom's dead. He kind of is on the low, won't let the daughter have phones, TV. A typical daughter in the, like 2025 can't have no phone, can't have no internet. The kid, all her friends think that her dad is weird. He won't let them know like anything. Somehow, some way, the government and Sean Penn's guy. Oh, he wants to join like a Ku Klux Klan thing, and he wants to, in order for him to be a part of this like white supremacy group, he has to like do a background check. And there's a rumor that he does have this mixed kid, so he ends up making up some lie and basically finds all the people that used to be in this revolt kind of revolution group to kill them until he finds the little girl, Chase Infinity. So they find Regina Hall. And then she kind of goes and finds the little girl. There's this like speech that they taught the daughter. If I don't care who you are, or where you are, somebody says this to you, you know to trust them with their life. So basically, they try to get the little girl to escape. She runs away because Sean Penn needs to kill her. He needs to prove that he hates black people. He never had anything to do with them, but he secretly has a black fetish of black women. He just is like a like most white men. They act like they hate us, but they really love us. Anyway, long story short. The daughter gets kidnapped. They try to find the daughter however they can. They separate them, but then something happens where Sean Penn almost catches the daughter. I don't want to give too much away just in case people want to watch it,
I
but
don't, but
it wasn't that long. I think it was really, really, really good.
I
I
think
really
you gave
enjoyed
a
it.
great breakdown
I
of the
really enjoyed
film.
it. It was just basically
And
a man doing anything for his daughter.
who is Jungle P-Word?
She is one of the revolutionaries in the film. She's like Tiana's right-hand woman. And then she actually go, they all go underground after Tiana flees. She joins a nun seminary in the middle of nowhere. And the only person who knows is Regina Hall. And when they find Tiana Taylor's daughter and they know that Sean Penn is looking for them, that's where they take her. But then they end up finding them there. And so they kill all of them. And then Sean Penn basically just is like, if you're my daughter, I have to kill you. But the white people end up finding out that he has a daughter. He tries to hide it, but they end up finding out that he has this mixed daughter anyway. So they kill him themselves. Sean Penn. And then basically it's Leonardo DiCaprio trying to rescue his daughter and fight for his daughter. And then at the end, she ends up becoming like her mom. Like the mother wrote her letter. So Teyana Taylor wrote her daughter a letter, like basically saying, I'm not dead, but you'll never see me again on some Asada Shakur thing. Like I understand knowing Paul Thomas Anderson, knowing his wife is Maya Rudolph, knowing that their kids are half black, half white, it kind of makes it all come full circle about like just fighting for what's wrong. And I feel like people are giving too much weight to just the 20 minutes that Tiana is sexual. But I also do agree Regina Hall has been overlooked for this movie. She was really, 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 really,
well,
really.
I think what it is too is like, because just from the sounds of it, it just, I can see the debate of like, why was Tiana Taylor nominated for like, you know, if she was only in the film for such a short amount of time.
She was good. She was really, really good. I'm not gonna.
I mean, no, I think she's a great actress. I think she, you know, it's funny that it took this role, and to me, it was 1001 that she should have got all these nominations on. But yeah, no, it still sounds like I don't need to watch it. Just like the last Leonardo DiCaprio movie, it was something about like indigenous people, like Native Americans and white racism and stuff. And I watched that on the airplane. And afterwards, I was like, I didn't need to watch that movie. And so just listen to you break it down. It sounds good. You know, he's never in a bad movie. It's just like, I just don't need to watch it. But I get it. Racism.
Yes, but the Oscars overall were pretty good. I love that they started at 7 p.m. and were over at 10:30. I think every award show needs to be there from here on out.
I mean, I didn't watch it. I don't watch award shows. I watch Twitter timelines. So I just was, I was like most people, we were just like, did Ryan Coogler win? Did Michael B. Jordan win? Okay, good.
And they did.
Oh, all right. I went to bed at peace. At peace in that pieces. Okay. So last time on Weekly Grab, we got to get into Drag Race season 17 because this is our season finale. And so we're not going to be here to recap the whole season and who's going to win. I mean, it's looking like it is Jane Don't. But
I hope Darlene does a turnaround. I hope she somehow
it
does
looks
it.
Like she's doing a turnaround. So this last episode, first, I just want to give a shout out to Discord Adams because I really love her delusion. I honestly think it's a key to success. Like literally, it is a key to success. If you can be delusional, you can succeed because you are so delusional that you block out the haters, you block out the criticism because in your mind, you're that girl. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see with Discord week after week. And granted, like she's still serving, right? She's still serving looks. She just can't walk. And she actually did pretty good during the roast. I also loved her runway look for Swept Away. Phenomenal. If she would have did better in the roast, I would have thought that she should have been the winner of the week. But I just enjoy watching how far she's going, just being herself and delusional on top of that. And Darlene Mitchell, like we really saw Darlene just lean into her Darlene. So they got this challenge because they were roasting the great Alyssa Edwards. And Darlene is just already cracking herself up with her corny jokes from the preparation, which it was making me laugh because I'm like, why are you laughing at these corny jokes? She was like,
oh, look, a burger.
So then at the roast, you see Darlene just lean fully into her goofy nature by bringing props, which we've been watching 17 seasons of the show. We have never seen anyone do a roast the way we just saw Darlene do it. I think she set a new precedent. Mm-hmm. And I can see other queens in the future copying off of her. And now she kind of is going to have that stamp on Drag Race with what she did at the roast. And then she crushed it on the runway with her runway look. And so she won. Mm-hmm. And this is like the first time we really saw Darlene shine, which was, you know, amazing. So then we see Juicy Love Dion once again and Kenya Pleaser once again in the bottom two, but this time they're against each other, which that's a first. And we get another iconic lip sync from Juicy Love Dion. I think at this point it's solidified that she is a lip sync assassin. She is up there with Georges. Like she just, it's not even that she can't be beat. It's like the way that she performs It literally captures my heart. Like, it makes no reason why I get so emotional and I start crying. Because this one was with the Swept Away. So it was
That
with
fan was
the
spinning.
fan.
That fan was working
Oh my God. And
overtime,
then the
okay?
song, it was a beautiful song. And I was like, oh my God, why am I crying?
Turn
Because I
around.
know one of them is going home. And it just was such a beautiful goodbye. So my girl, who I've been rooting for from day one, Kenya Pleaser, just shout out to her because she is a true class act. We do always see the curvy queen. Rue shows love to everybody. So there's always a curvy queen or two or three every season. But a lot of times it's hard for them to really make it far in the challenge because of, barriers they face and their even their own insecurities where they can get in their own way. So we saw Kenya going through that at points during the competition, but ultimately her charisma, her charm, her personality is what kept her in the game so long. And we've seen that with others in the past, with Silky Nutmeg Ganache,
Oh,
and of
yes,
course
girl.
the great Latrice Royale. So what I think is that Kenya Pleaser has put herself up there with the greats of the curvy queens on Drag Race. Just, seeing her share her journey before going home after an iconic run for a curvy queen, it really touched me. And I just can't wait to see Kenya on All Stars and
I was
just
about to say, she's gonna get a Ru call. There's certain
Oh yeah.
girls, you know, Ru gonna call them back. Ru gonna
Oh,
call them home.
absolutely. She
You
just started
know.
a new era of as a fan fave. And I, like she has her own fan club. She's gonna be booked and busy from here on out. So she's good. She is good. Like she did the damn thing. And it so far it's just 10 out of 10. But yeah, so with everyone that's left, it is just looking like Plain Jane is the front runner.
It is Jane Don't.
Which why I keep calling her Plain Jane. I called her Plain Jane 18 times. My bad.
Is she if you can't
My
remember
bad. Well, because I'm
her
sorry, Plain Jane was first, and now you coming, you
She
Jane Doe.
was.
And
She
Plain Jane,
was.
it was just Plain Jane was just there, and now we watch a Plain Jane on House of Villains. So it's just, I'm sorry, but Jane Don't to me is the front runner to win. I really don't. I mean, I don't really know who's going to be with her in the top three. I would assume probably at this point, like a Darlene Mitchell. Who else? What do you think?
I don't know if I think Juicy Dionne is amazing. I don't know if she can like lip sync Assassin her way to the top four. I think
Oh,
Nene
Nene
Coco,
and
Darlene, Jane,
what's the one with the dark hair?
and
Mikey
who?
Meeks.
Mikey Meeks. Yes.
Mikey Meeks.
I think that's our top four.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Especially with this makeover challenge.
I agree.
That I think Discord might do better than we expect because she is a designer. I see maybe Juicy or I don't know, Juicy or maybe even Mikey might be in the bottom this week just because that's a very specific thing. But I don't see Juice like being a, she's gonna be get a call too, but you can't be a lip sync assassin. And that's how you're not you're kind of you're Ru's not gonna vote for you to win just because you can lip sync really well. No shade, but
Yeah, I
I
see
do love
Juicy pop.
her.
I mean, I see Juicy going home. I think Discord, I see her going home because, it's just only but so much you could do with that walk. But we'll see. We could be surprised. We could be surprised. But yes, that was our extended weekly grab. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. Our listenership is going up.
It is.
I am watching our analytics on our platform where we host our podcast that we distribute it to all the streaming platforms. And people are not only are you guys listening, like you're going back to our old episodes. Like people are literally going to season four. And I think with Sterling K. Brown with Paradise trending, because Tanae, you have to watch that show. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Like each episode, because it just episode six just aired on Sunday. It airs every Sunday. When I tell you I fall in love with the show more, and I'm just like, I'm on the edge of my seat, like, no, you can't make me wait till next week for the next episode. It's such a new, it's new climax after climax. It's like, okay, at this point, go ahead. I just make me orgasm because I can't.
Oh my
Like, I'm
Jesus.
just. So, what I think is one of our episodes from season four, we were talking, well, we talked about Sterling K. Brown because when Paradise first came out, I talked about it. So people are going back and listening to that episode. And then I look at our analytics, and then I'm seeing like, wow, people are actually genuinely listening to our stuff. Like they're listening to all of our stuff from across our 6 seasons.
Our YouTube views are amazing. They're like, we have m multiple videos with over 1,000 views. I think over this past week alone, I think we had a really big surge sometime over the past 2 weeks. So they're
And
going up
then Tanea
a
does a great
lot.
job with like live tweet, like live posting in response to whether it's an award show or certain like shows that she's watching in real time. And then she goes on our Instagram story, our threads. So it
Shout
just
out to
keeps,
our
we're keeping y'all
friend.
engaged. And
We
we
need a
do.
fan name. I don't know if we got fans, but we need a name for y'all. I mean, I don't know if y'all want to be the besties, but they be like, girl, you was right. I said what I told you.
Ooh, we got it. I'm you know what?
Somebody.
I'm gonna chat GPT it, and we're gonna come when we come back for season 7 in the fall. We will have a name for our fan club because at this point we do need one. And you will be seeing more of us on camera. That'll be coming probably sometime going into our season 7 because I do like Atlanta, but I'm not gonna be able to stay here. I have to go back to the NYC because y'all know I gotta take care of this baby. And I need my support and our parents and family and everybody is over there. So when I'm back home, me and Tanea will be doing our show together in person. And so you'll get to see even more of our dynamic as best friends because we really are best friends. We have been friends since 2002. 2002, B2K brought us together initially, and yeah, and now look, B2K is on a reunion tour. That's how old we are and how
And
fast
I'm
that
definitely going, and I'm going early because everybody been saying everybody on the show, besides Baby Blue Fat Ass, that everybody's doing good. They say he
I
is.
well, J Bug went viral with
That's
just
my boy. You
faking
know, I've
it
always been a J Book
with
fan.
his dad bod. So I'm excited. I'm going to the LA show this coming Sunday. I'm flying out to LA. Literally flying out to LA for the B2K concert. Oh my gosh, but I'm not surprised because there's only certain people. Like I would fly anywhere for NSYNC, Britney Spears, and B2K. And then the rest of them, they're no longer alive. Like Michael Jackson's gone, Prince is gone, you know, whatever. Whitney is gone. But yeah, so there's only just certain people that I'll do that for. So when I got invited to cover the concert, I'm like, where? Oh, LA. Okay, I'm there. Yeah, so I'll be in LA this weekend. Breathe in, breathe
Breathe
out,
in.
breathe
Now
in.
drop, now drop, now drop, now drop.
But yeah, so
Hey.
again, guys, just thank you for sticking with us. Like and subscribe, rate and review. And that was a really friendly weekly grab, a really friendly extended weekly grab. And so now we got to get a little negative, just a little negative, and get into the piss poor performance. Okay. Who you got, best friend?
Oh, so I have a double piss poor.
Ooh.
I know I spoke about the Oscars, but my piss poor is for those producers who were cutting the people off during their speech. It was so rude. It was so abrupt. To stick in my mind, the K-pop Demon Hunters, when they won the Oscar for Best Song, they only let the main singers like do her speech. She wrote had other co-writers. One of them really he was walking to the mic. They cut the lights off. They dropped that mic, and you could see her in the back, like, no, just give us 5 minutes, just give us 5 seconds. And then Conan was just shaking his head, like, what are y'all doing? It is so rude. You do not
It
have to be that like rude, that kind of short with somebody that's really, really just trying to say their thank yous. Y'all had so many unnecessary like skits. No shade to Conan. You could have gave people more time to speak because this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. You don't know how many other times these people are going to have this opportunity. Please stop being rude and a lot more time in your show
what I
for.
would Or what I think that they could do is like just go to commercial and so whoever's watching on television, you don't get to see the full speech. You would
Yeah.
probably have to go on YouTube or something, but because you have to stick to your program. But anyone who's there at the show, they're there. Let them finish their speech because it is extremely rude. And these are once in a lifetime opportunities. So why be rude and disrespectful? And at this point, it's so old and played out. Like, just stop it.
It was just so rude. So I'm just pissing on them because it was so unnecessary. It was so rude. They did it multiple times. And I have a little mini piss poor mention, even though, like I said, I've never watched a full episode of Love Island, but I love me so Alandria, and I'm very much into Love Island, like drama of it all. Miss Hutta, the girl who tried to say she wasn't racist and everybody was hating on her. You threatening your boyfriend's baby mom and his kid. You being such an evil person and trying to say everything is a lie, girl. Everything is not a lie. I think you need to get away from TV because it's not meant for everybody. And I knew I was right about you because people kept trying to say that Hutta wasn't racist and everybody's hating her. Yeah, no, she's crazy. So that's who I'm pissing on. Who are you pissing on?
And just pissing on Bravo for not having a Real Housewives franchise airing right now because, of course, Beverly Hills doesn't count because it's so dry. At this point, I have, I pretty much watched the entire season, but I did check out now towards the end because I got what it is. So I'm just waiting for the reunion because I'm like, okay, y'all not really giving us anything. So I'll just tune back in for the reunion to just watch the recap of like the last, three episodes. I think I'm just skipping these last like 2 to 3 episodes of the season. And then, yeah, I'll just tune in for the reunion. So it's just not giving. So we're going weeks now with no Real Housewives until Housewives of Atlanta returns in, what is that, May?
April.
Late April, late
April
April.
5th. April 5th.
Oh, okay. So we have to go
It comes back soon.
a whole
Yeah.
month and some change because basically since Potomac ended, we had to go all this time because Beverly Hills is just not giving. And then at the same time, it's because of how they changed up the schedules because typically there's been times where Miami was airing right now or, Jersey's been put on pause, but then what's going on? I know they got the new one, Rhode Island, that's coming.
I heard
So,
that's going to be, interesting. And Dolores has like a cut too in it.
and then y'all got rid of Dubai for no reason. Dubai, y'all didn't even give Dubai a chance. Justice for Chanel Iman. Wait, that's the model. My bad. Chanel Ayan. My bad. But yeah, so
I'd be like, yeah, they both models. They both
yeah.
beautiful. But
Well, I mean,
yes.
aren't they're related, right?
No, she's been
No.
made at Uber
Oh
and
yeah, she's
Chanel.
related to Uba. My
It's
bad. My
related.
bad. My bad. But they all gorgeous. All gorgeous and
Yes.
African. Okay. So that's our piss poor, and now we're gonna get into who we're rooting for as part of our yes segment, and
Ooh.
who you got best friend.
I spoke about her earlier, but she's just really grown on me. Dr. Mimi from Married to Medicine.
Yes.
Not just because you are a soror and she be strolling. I'm like, she one of them big sisters who be at the back of the line, like, I'm gonna get the stroll.
Yes.
I just love her energy. I love how she will read somebody, but like not too nasty, not too much. I really, really, once again, love her and her husband's presence. They had a really kind of sweet moment where she was just like, sometimes I just need to hear from my husband that I'm doing great. I feel like I'm not doing enough. And he just kind of reassured her. And it was a beautiful moment. I really do think, to your point, they are going to be the new face of Married to Med. They're slowly kind of getting their kind of, first, second season jitters in. I think they are definitely going to be a force to reckon with. Them being parents and being married is going to be a great storyline. But she's just funny. When she said, I promise you, I started cracking up. When you serve chicken wings, you get a chicken wing budget, which is like, she's not lying per
She's
se.
not lying. She's not
But
lying.
I just love seeing her on my screen. I know she's
Yeah.
gonna get called out a little bit because Dr. Simone did say, if you're gonna say it, you gotta back it up.
Yep.
So I think she's the perfect new addition. And like I said, I'm really excited for the reunion. Who are you rooting for?
Okay, back to the millennial nostalgia, because I'm such in my millennial nostalgia era. Malcolm in the Middle, Life's Still Unfair trailer has released. Oh my gosh. For those of us that watched the original in the early 2000s, I mean, it was only like, yeah, like it was like on from like the year 2000 to like the year 2003 or 4. Such a hilarious show. It followed like Malcolm and his crazy family and him just like kind of stopping and talking to the camera to vent about how crazy and chaotic his family was. So now we're seeing this is a four-part revival series. I'm sad it's only four parts.
Oh, it's only four parts.
Yes,
I don't know why I thought it was gonna be like a 6-12
I needed to be a
episode.
full series, but it's following a grown-up Malcolm who is like a single dad. Like he didn't make it with the baby mama, but he still got the child. And he's pulled back into his chaotic family's life for his parents' 40th anniversary. We see Bryan Cranston, who, if you didn't know him from Malcolm in the Middle, which he was originally on, you know him from Breaking Bad. So he's getting back into his comedy bag, because he's from Malcolm in the Middle. So a lot of people kind of got adjusted to him as Walter White on Breaking Bad, where he played a meth dealer. The Bryan
He was
Cranston.
dying. He was sick, okay? He was trying to help the
Yes,
family.
but this is the Bryan Cranston, the millennials first met, and the trailer it starts off where he's butt booty naked, and the wife, played by Jane Kasmarek, is shaving his balls, and they're making Dewey watch it on a Zoom call. It's like, oh my gosh! So it's all everybody's back. Well, they got someone else playing Dewey, but he looks just like Dewey. So to me, it seems like it's Dewey. You got Bryan Cranston, you got Frankie Muniz, you got Lois, the mom,
They
Chris
even got the
Rock.
black best friend. I just see that with the
Oh,
glasses. They got the best. I know, but Malcolm
and the
had the
one,
black best friend with
that he breathes funny.
yes.
Oh, good, good. You got Justin Burfield, who is Reese, and that's how I started watching the show as a 12-year-old because I had a crush on Reese. So it's nice to see him back. And it just looks like pure chaos. Honestly, I know they're saying it's only four parts, but I just feel like they might get such a good reception that it's gonna be like, y'all gonna have to do give us something more.
They might, especially if that dumb check's clear
Okay,
and them
period.
awards come.
Yeah, so again, tapping into the millennial nostalgia because we are in our nostalgia era. It is the reemergence of the early 2000s. And I mean that, in the 90s, because that's what's going on TikTok with all the 90s
Oh,
stars.
yeah, they're doing like, hey, mom, hey, dad, what were you like in the 90s?
I love it. I love it. Literally love it. Because for millennials, we were kids. So it's just, reminding us of just how good television was in the 90s and 2000s. Like, let's get back to it. Let's get back to it. But yeah, guys. So again, y'all already know this is our season six finale. We are going to be taking the spring and summer off because we have travels coming up. Pretty much that. Travels, life events. And so we're just going to be too occupied to like do a more episodes until we tinker back down into the fall season. So we will be back in September for season
Yes, but I
seven.
am still on the social media. So if
Yeah, we'll
there's
still be
anything
on,
going on,
yes,
show it to
keeping you.
us.
We'll react. I'll do some more. I'll do some reactions too and
Yes,
try
and
to
I'll,
keep
just
y'all.
interact and catch up. We have six seasons of beautiful, amazing podcasts, lots of videos, lots of social media. Hit us up if it's something you want us to react to. I am very active, so I will definitely make sure we reach back out. Kristen Keish just liked my post from earlier, so I'm in love. And like, life is great. I'm gonna be her new wife after she gets divorced.
Don't you say that. Oh my gosh. And on that note, let's close it out with some positivity. What do you got, best friend?
Just don't give up trying to do what you really want to do. Where there is love and inspiration, I don't think you can go wrong. By Miss Ella Fitzgerald.
Yes. And I lost my quote, but I'm just going to read one that I also
Yes.
like. Don't settle for okay when it comes to your life. Don't even settle for good. Work towards extraordinary, chase excitement, choose growth, seek adventure, decide to live life at a higher level, fill your life with joy, radiate love, sprinkle every day with magic. You only get one shot. Make it a life you dream of. And that is so love on Pinterest. Okay. Okay, and on that note, our closing slogan is
Love, abundance, and beautiful hair bundles to last you throughout the summer.
Yes, or some braids, you know, it gets a little hot. But yeah, thank you guys. Thank you guys. Another season down. We will be back. Enjoy your spring and summer and have your joggers ready for spring, summer, September.
Yes,
Thank
and
you.
enjoy our podcast.
Bye,
Bye,
guys.
everybody.